All right, let's go down to San Diego and what is it, the Mighty 1090? Is that it, Raph? Craig Elston, and we've had him on wonderful, wonderful pre and post game for the Padres down there on their flagship. Craig, how are you today?
Doing fine, Marty. Always doing well on the day we can chat baseball.
Yeah, you know, we love having you on. We had you on the last time these two teams played, and boy, they were both sort of, well, the Giants were not going in the right direction. The Padres were, but boy, how things can change, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how many buddies you've ever talked to on their way home from Vegas, and they tell you a story about how it was all going so well. And then, and 10 games, heading into a 10-game road trip, the Padres won the opening game, and they were at 500. They were 40-40. They were right in the middle of this goofy NL West, and they came off of the road trip 40-49. And then lost the first game of this current homestand to drop 10 games in a row. And go from 40-40 to 40-50, which completely changes the dynamic, at least in the very short term, of what Josh Burns and the Padres think they can do.
So what should we expect tonight? We watched the game, and boy, it was a mess in the bullpen last night. Everything was going the other way for last two nights for San Diego. Edinson Volquez, and I've seen him with the Rangers and the Reds, and this is like he could have been Pedro Martinez, you know? 94, 78, just a terrific pitcher, but man, he's all over the place. Lincecum seems to pitch well against the Padres from time to time. What do you see from your side tonight?
Well, I think the Padres, with Edinson Volquez, the way I've always described it, you know, this season on the air is that you flip a coin. Basically, you flip a coin, and if it's the plus side, then Edinson Volquez is going to give you 6 innings, 1 run, 7 innings, 1 run. He'll be very unhittable, and you mentioned it. You know, it hurt my heart a little bit to hear you say that, Marty, compare him to Pedro Martinez, because every time you watch Edinson Volquez pitch, there's an element of what could have been with him. He just does not have the fastball command,
yeah. And
that's what Pedro Martinez had, but it's not what Edinson Volquez has. He doesn't command his fastball on a regular basis. It's there every once in a while. Most of the time it's not, and that makes secondary pitches, which are otherwise excellent, a little bit more vulnerable. When Volquez doesn't walk guys and he has command, he's a tough pitcher to hit. And certainly from a San Diego Padres standpoint, they'd love to see Volquez put together 2 or 3 where the coin flip comes up heads in a row, because I think as things change now and the Padres may be going to a position of being a seller, Volquez is a perfect guy to trim off your team.
Boy, you look at the Padres, and again, we did – Giants 19-35, Craig, in 54 games. That's a third of the season. That tells you where they've been. And the Padres in this big losing spiral right now. What aspect of the game fell apart for this ball club?
Well, you really have to start, and I know every team has it, but you have to start with an injury rash that was pretty severe, that at one point had 5 starting players out of the lineup. The strange part was, and the last time that you and I talked, Marty, for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, which, as you know, is pretty much the shelf life for when you have to run your bench out there on an everyday basis, the Padres' bench played to the level of their starters, and they were able to get by, but then they weren't. And the biggest key was the loss of Everett Cabrera. The Padres went 5-12 while Cabrera was on the DL rehabbing a hamstring. He came back as fast as he possibly could, and his first 2, 3, 4 games out in the field, he really wasn't himself. I think we're starting to see Cabrera play the way that he did before, the way that he earned his way onto the All-Star game, but we'll wait and see. Yonder Alonso came back from the disabled list last night. He has been out since June 1st with a broken hand. Jed Jerko, who's one of the bright young rookies in the National League, he had been out with a groin strain slightly longer than that. So those are some key players. And, of course, Cameron Maybin, the Padres have barely seen him this year, except for the big poster out in center field. That's the most you've seen of Cameron Maybin. It's been one injury after another. So the center fielder has basically been gone the entire year. Carlos Quentin is in and out. But guys who had been playing well, stepping in, like Kyle Blanks, Pedro Siriaco, Logan Forsythe, they all went cold at once. Yasmani Grandal got his knee blown out on the last road trip. He's gone for a full year. And during that road trip, as it just turned out, the Padres ran into a perfect string of really good pitchers all in a row at the right time. You guys have seen those Marlins young arms. I mean, they've got some good young arms. in that Miami rotation. And it went right from that into Boston, and then they faced the top three from the Nationals, 1-2-3. And it was good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Yeah, that'll roll you up pretty quickly. Craig Elston is with us. He does the pre and post for the Padres. We did a trivia question tonight. I'll let you use it tonight. Raf, our winner is Don McQuarrie of San Francisco. And you get it, Craig, if you're up here, we'll take you to dinner at Original Joe's at Union in Stockton. But the winner of the trivia tonight goes in the pool, and we pick four people out to have dinner with myself and others at Original Joe's. So the question was, last night, Posey, as a catcher, drove in five runs for the Giants. Who was the last catcher to drive in five runs for the San Francisco Giants? And the answer is Pablo Sandoval.
What?
How about that? When he caught in 2008, September 7th, 2008. And you can use that tonight.
So is that why he's put on so much weight, Marty? Is he considering a return to the plate and he'll put Posey at first, or what?
Well, I think it was just a lack of discipline, shall we say, a few too many meals. But, you know, he's starting to look a little bit better. I mean, he golfed one out on Friday night. I mean, well, Thursday night, I guess. He just went down and hit it off the plate. And last night, the at-bats were a little better for him, too. He turned on one and hit that crazy yellow thing down in the right field corner.
Yeah, he's so strong to keep that ball fair. That's a ball that I'd say 95% of Major League Baseball players hook. And Panda kept it fair. But I'm just amazed that a guy would let himself go like that. I can't help but comment on it every time I see the Giants play. I mean, Giants still play a better brand of baseball than some teams in this division. But to see a guy let himself go like that is so important. It's stunning to me.
Well, the point is with him, he's close to a .300 lifetime hitter, good on base percentage. You know, he's a legitimate major league hitter, and he goes through periods like this where he just gets out of shape. But the biggest thing for him, Craig, if you watch his at bats, he lunges at the ball, and he sometimes can hit it, but that's his biggest problem. If he could stay back and just have a decent swing, it'd be fine. But he lunges at it, and they're throwing 88, 89 past him right now.
Not good. Padres, send an EV against Lincecum. I wanted to ask you a question. I'm turning this around. Now you're on my show.
But, all right.
Why have the Giants not considered moving Lincecum into the bullpen? Is it simply a situation where they don't have a good arm that could replace him right now? And would a trade perhaps necessitate that type of move?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about it for about a month now, and they need him in the rotation. You know, his numbers are not that bad. It's just he ends up with a sixth inning that you don't want to talk about. But generally, he's got a strikeout pitch going. He's got that 84, 85 thing going. You know, he'll strike out 11 in seven innings. He'll strike out eight in five innings. He sort of keeps you in the game, but he runs into a wall. There's nobody to replace him. Once Vogelsong comes back, if Godin stays in the rotation, then maybe you can make a move with him if you need him that way. But up to now, the injury to Vogelsong has messed up that entire rotation.
That makes sense.
That's what's going on. That's what's going on. Hey, down there, what's the weather like tonight?
We are at 78 degrees and hazy, light blue skies. It should be beautiful. A little bit on the humid side the last couple of days here in San Diego, and the ball's carried pretty well. And I tell you, I wonder, you could ask the Giants players maybe when they come back, but it just seems like San Francisco is such a woeful road team, and the Padres share that trait this year, just been terrible on the road, winning one out of three in general. They seem to play better at Petco Park, and I would surmise that part of the reason is because half of the fans here are cheering for them and wearing orange and brown.
Yeah, and also they have success there. And, you know, it gives you a lot of confidence. The pitchers pitch well there. And we'll see what happens. I mean, believe me, these are two important games for this ball club heading into the break. They really are. They're six back in the loss column of Arizona right now. Dodgers are at .500. They're eight under. These are two very important games for this ball club because you have two pitchers pitching. They're at the end of the rotation, the 4 and 5 guys. They haven't won on the road. They've been awful on the road, both of them. And then you get to come back after the break and set up your rotation for Arizona. So these games, believe it or not, and I don't want to make too much out of it, but with 70 to go, these are important games to get down in San Diego. I think these are very critical games for the ball club.
Well, I'll just say this in closing, talking about how things have changed since the last time we talked. Last time we talked, the Padres were right in the thick of this. And Josh Burns was very strongly considering deals. There was a Matt Garza trade that was out there. I know they had kicked the tires on Nolasco. And I think he pretty much done due diligence on all the top starters in the market, the same guys that the Giants have looked at and the Rockies and everybody else. But when you go from 40-40 to 40-50 in San Diego with a team that wasn't designed to contend at the start, I think, you know, a dispassionate observer such as myself would believe that this is maybe a blessing in disguise for the Padres, who have a lot of young talent in the organization and probably aren't in the best spot to start moving those talented young kids for rentals. Yeah. You know, where the Giants, to me, have only one mode this year, which is go for it.
Yeah.
And so if you're 8-under, 10-under at the break, 6-under at the break, I mean, you're kind of in the same spot. You still have to go for it and double down and hope for the best, where the Padres can switch from buyer to seller and maybe make a couple of strategic, tiny little plays that set them up even better for 2014.
Yeah, and they'll put up with it down there. Here, they get 42,000 every night, 210 sellouts in a row. You're not selling off your players for guys who may make the team in 2 years. It's just not going to happen. Not going to
exactly.
happen. All right. Hey, Craig, thank you so much. Have a good night tonight, and always a welcome addition to our show.
We'll talk to you next time our teams hook up.
All right. Thank you. Craig Elston from the Mighty 1090 down there. He does the flagship pre- and post-game show for the San Diego Padres. Very nice.